Welcome to If Not For God, stories of hopelessness that turn to hope. Here is your host, Mike Zwick.
Well, it's hard for me to say this one will be a treat, but in a way it will be because I think you can relate to what our story is today on If Not For God, Mike. We're talking a little bit about, I think, short-term depression might be a good word. Like all of a sudden, man, all these things start to overwhelm us, and that can happen to even us, right, Mike?
Absolutely. And I've seen a lot of stuff on the news lately, and I'm sure you have too, Robbie. But what they've said is that there's an article right here. It says the U.S. is in a medically induced coma, but that doesn't mean we're heading into a depression just yet. But a lot of people are depressed, and a lot of people are upset. They may call it cabin fever. I've sold insurance for going on 16 years, and I've met a lot of people who have said, Mike, I always wanted to retire. I always was looking forward to retiring. I hated my job. And then once I retired, I said, oh my God, this isn't what I thought it would be. And they miss working. And so they actually go back to work. And I think for a while now, people have not been able to go to work every day and live their lives out as normal, and they're sitting around the house, and a lot of people have had some depression. The good news is that there are answers for depression in the Bible. As a matter of fact, I pulled up some verses right here, Robbie. Philippians 4, verse 8, it says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Or Deuteronomy 31:8, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." Or Psalm 34:16, "The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all of their troubles." Robbie, what would you encourage people to do right now who may feel depressed?
Well, I think Satan's normal strategy is to think you're the only one.
Yeah.
And you think, well, I listen to Robbie laugh all the time on the radio. He must always not. I mean, I struggle with it a lot. And right. Even in times that normally I would go, man, my best time in the world is in the morning with the Lord. Well, during this time, during this season, it's been during some of those times that I literally have become the most discouraged, the mm-hmm. most depressed, and all of a sudden those scriptures that you just mentioned mm-hmm. become life-giving, where I don't know that when I just read them, you know, that necessarily feels that, but when it hits home, is really where all of a sudden I need God at a level that I hadn't needed him. You know? Mm-hmm. And it could be the bigger salvation that's bringing to light a need that I wasn't aware that I had.
Yeah, and one of the things that we were talking about a little bit before is that, you know, 1 Corinthians 15:33, and this is the NIV, it says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." And so a lot of people, if they're depressed, and because of social distancing and because of these other things, it may be tougher to get around other people. But one of the things that you had said, Robbie, was that I think you had mentioned Greg Laurie.
Right. That he had, you know, over the last 5 weeks, if you read Greg Laurie's blog, it's mind-blowing. His church services online prior to the COVID crisis were somewhere around 8,000 people that were, you know, watching his online service. Mm-hmm. You know, the first week, you know, that jumped up to, you know, over 10,000. Mm-hmm. The second week, you know, over 50,000. And then the third week, you know, over 100,000. And guess what? Mm-hmm. He's now like 1.8 million people and decisions for Christ like they've never seen in their ministry. Like, this is a time where, you know, not only is our world being shaken, but a lot of people are finding themselves in a place where, you know, they're searching for answers where they've never looked before.
Absolutely. In Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose." sometimes when we're in the midst of things, though, sometimes when things are tough, we may not be saying, oh, well, God is doing this for the good or whatever, but we had a conversation before the show, Robbie, and you said that God may be using this and weaving this into a way where, yeah, things on the surface may look tough, and when you turn on the news, it's pretty much all bad. But maybe he's using this for his own purpose.
Yeah, I would add not maybe. However, you know, we need to, in my opinion, really be able to hold up our shield of faith when, you know, people that we normally consider to be, you know, strong in the faith, mm-hmm. realize that they really need somebody like Moses to hold up their arms right now. So, you know, if we think about praying for Greg Laurie and other leaders, but even in your own case, Mike, you know, I got a text from you, you know, that said you were struggling.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, and I am the kind of person, I am constantly go, 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 go. And I told my wife and family, and I said, it's nice to be able to spend time with the kids. It's nice to be able to do stuff together. And I said, but at some point, I almost felt like I didn't have the same purpose that I had before, where I was going out and accomplishing things every day and doing stuff. And so, yes, it was a time to think, and it was a time to pray, and it was a time to kind of ask questions and say, God, what is the purpose for all of this? But sometimes it's tough too. I mean, you know, it's when you're used to doing so many things in a certain way, and then all of a sudden, a lot of it is just taken away from you, and you don't have the same freedoms that you've always had. Yeah, God can use it for his good, but it doesn't mean that sometimes it won't be tough. You know, in the past week or so, I actually took my keys, and every day I throw them over and I throw them in a little basket or whatever. And what I did was I ended up throwing them over towards the basket, and the keys fell behind the refrigerator. And it was almost impossible to get the keys out from behind the refrigerator. And I said to myself, I said, why? And I kind of looked at my wife, and she was about to say something. And I said, don't answer that. Because I knew there was an answer for it. And I knew there was a reason why it happened. And I knew why it happened. I shouldn't have done it. But I feel like sometimes maybe that's
– well, wait a minute. Don't leave us hanging. Why did your keys go behind
me? I was just careless. You know, I thought it was fun. I said, I'm going to go throw them, toss them over there. But the basket was close to the back of the refrigerator, and I should have known better not to take it, not to take the keys and just toss them. I knew I should have put them in there. But what it kind of reminded me of was in Scripture, in Romans 1, starting with verse 19 going to 21, it says, because that which may have been known, which may be known of God, is manifest in them, for God hath shown it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And so what it tells me is that, yeah, I mean, God is not just doing all of this stuff or allowing all of this stuff just because he enjoys people suffering and stuff like that. But we've talked about it many times, is that sin does have consequences. And when we decide that we want to do things our way, God is not going to step in and say, no, I'm not going to allow you to do it. He lets us do things our way.
So he let the keys.
He let the keys go back there. But there were consequences. It was a pain in the neck having to get those keys out from the back of the refrigerator.
Well, let's just go back to the text for a second. Okay. So he allowed Mike Zwick himself, right? And for those of us who know salesmen, right? And I love salespeople. Been around them all my life, M1. Right. And you know, we can't go make a call if we don't first sold to ourselves. The first and most important sale you make is the one you make to yourself, mm-hmm. which is that I do need to go talk to this person about this. I do have an opportunity to help people, whatever. So mm-hmm. when the salesman gets down, it's a call for gigantic concern. I suppose it's a call for anybody. But so anyway, I get this text, Mike. It says that you're struggling.
Uh-huh.
What I found beautiful is that in admitting that, right, you're asking for help in your own way.
Right.
You're saying, hey, has somebody got something for me?
Yeah.
And actually, I was in the middle of recording a radio show when I got the text, so I was like, what do I do with this? I certainly want to help Mike, but at this moment, I'm in the middle of recording. But God had something for you.
He did. I spoke to you, and you spoke to me the next day, and I had texted a lady, Nanette Noel. She's out of right near Burlington, and what she texted me was she said to listen to praise and worship music and praise the Lord. And so I started to do that, and I felt better. I've gotten involved with a group that meets on Tuesday nights. And it's just other Christians, and we're able to talk about things, and some of the people do it through Zoom. And that's one of the great things about technology now is that even if we can't meet face to face, kind of like you were talking about Greg Laurie, is that we can be around other people in some capacity. As you know, Robbie, it says in Hebrews 10:25, do not forsake the gathering of yourselves as some of them have done. And I think, you know, even from just a human perspective, being not for people not to be around other people and go out to restaurants and stuff like that or to interact, it is depressing for a lot of people.
So you had a chance to do some praise.
Right.
And you told me you did feel better as a result, but also you had the group that you're talking about. And
sure.
I couldn't help but note that, you know, where God sent me in my struggles was to Genesis.
Okay.
Right? And when right at the end of Genesis, where it says, well, actually, it's the beginning of Genesis 2, where he says, it's not good for man to be alone.
Right.
Right. Now, if you follow that little storyline right there, I think we're all very familiar with it. But that word alone in Hebrew, when you really break it down, it's interesting that it's got a bet, which means home.
Okay.
And then it's got a dalid, which means a servant. So here's this home with just nothing but a servant in it, okay?
Okay.
So who's the servant going to serve when he's by himself?
Serve God.
Well, hopefully, but who is he really going to serve? Himself, right?
Yeah,
so,
okay.
And so when you think about if man is alone, if he doesn't serve God, then who else can he serve? He's going to serve himself, and boy, we're good at that. And so serving yourself, does this not get you very where? So it's interesting that God's going to make Adam a helper suitable for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you read that story in Genesis, he just doesn't make Eve right then after he says it's not good for man to be alone. You know what he does? He takes Adam out to the animals, and he parades the animals to see if any of them are – So it's just kind of comical to picture, you know, Adam going, yeah, there's a giraffe, long neck. No, that's not the one. How about a mosquito, Adam? No, we're not going there. How about this, you know, elephant? No, nose is too big. We're not going for that. You know, the whole picture of that is very comical. Then he makes Eve.
Mm.
Okay? And after he makes Eve, he says that a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave.
Mm-hmm.
To his wife. Now, if you look at that word cleave in Hebrew, it's actually alone backwards at the beginning. So you got a – we said we had a bet and then a dalet if you look at alone, which is actually pronounced bad in Hebrew. So if you say that's bad, that's alone.
Yeah.
And so if you reverse that and you put the dalet first.
Okay.
So here you got man serving the house.
Okay.
What house would that be? The kingdom, right? Man serving. And then it has this cuff, which is holy, which is something that's actually kind of hidden in there that's holy.
Sure.
And so the idea of cleaving is when we actually do serve God or our wife or our other people. So interestingly, if we go back to your story from my perspective of you admit, which is huge, to your group, the people that are close to you, look, I'm struggling.
Right.
Right? And now you've given them an opportunity to serve you.
Yeah.
And you won't be alone.
That's right.
I'll never, ever forget when I was crushed behind a Jeep, and people have heard that story, and I was in a wheelchair for a year.
Oh, my God.
My Sunday school class came out and built a wheelchair ramp on my house, which was actually quite humiliating.
Okay.
And they're out there, they're all working. I'm sitting in this wheelchair, and I'm like, Mike, man, this is huge. I've just never done anything like this for anybody, and here you guys are making this wheelchair ramp on my house. I just can't believe you're doing it. Mm. It was Mike Hamm with the Hamm Sunday School class, and he says to me, Robbie, you have no idea how many people we would help if they would just tell us that they're struggling. But when they don't tell us that they're struggling, they're robbing us.
Wow, of the joy.
Of the joy of serving.
That's right, yeah.
And so as we cleave, right, yeah. If you want to find a way out of, you know, serving yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
You begin to look for ways. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
And I'll never, ever forget the story. It came out of Ransom Heart, that Craig McConnell was dying of cancer. He actually did die shortly after this incident, but he was undergoing all this unbelievable chemotherapy, and he'd had this really, really high fever, and he was in immense pain. He said the most pain he'd ever been in. And while he was praying, he had a wonderful conversational intimacy with Jesus. And he goes, Jesus, you got to help me. Yeah. This has hurt so bad. It hurts so bad. And Jesus says, okay, you need to start praying for other people.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, what?
Yeah.
No, you didn't understand what I was saying. He goes, no, you've never been in a better position to pray for other people.
Wow.
And like, I've never forgot that story. Like, oh my goodness, that. What happened there was what we just discussed, that he went from self-serving to actually give an opportunity to serve others from that point of pain.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, Robbie, because what I've heard in the past is that there are people who have, I believe, have the gift of healing. And they specifically, they'll pray for other people, and then the people are healed. It's amazing. But some of the stories that I've actually heard is that the times when they were the most effective, when their prayers, when they prayed for somebody who had cancer and the cancer was it got better or whatever, the times they were the most effective praying for other people was when they were very sick themselves. Well, on the surface, somebody might look at that and say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, then couldn't they just heal themselves? But there is something about when we are going through tough times ourselves that we're able to empathize with people or sympathize with people. I was actually looking in 2 Timothy chapter 3, talking about depression and being unselfish and how it can alleviate depression. But 2 Timothy 3:1, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." Isn't that interesting? I mean, you know, there's so many different – and he keeps on going on, but there's so many different things that have happened. And it's like we're told constantly by psychologists or pop psychologists or people on TV, you just have to love yourself more. Well, that's not really what Scripture says. It says to love your neighbor as yourself.
And well, I'll back up a little bit because there's an – I'm going to take issue with that just for a second, okay? Because my mother attempted suicide when I was – 11, and she really, really struggled with self-image and all that stuff, and it was actually a doctor what brought her out of that. She was in the hospital for over 2 years as a result of this horrific suicide attempt.
Sure.
And what her doctor told her as he backed her through what's happened is, if you don't care about yourself, you really can't care about others.
Well, that's what Jesus said. He said, love your neighbor as yourself.
And so if
you don't love yourself, then how are you going to love your neighbor?
Right. And so there is this thing, but lovers of ourselves over, because again, that's a fascinating thing. You got to love yourself up to a level. And it really is an interesting balance. But it is a balance. It's not like I'm supposed to hate myself. It is God gave me all this stuff so that I could be able to help others through self-care and self-soul care and all those other things that enter into the equation. But you're right. You're absolutely right. That's what the Scripture says, that lovers of themselves to the exclusion of others.
Right, right. I'm sure you heard the story about when, you know, in the past when there have been plagues and big sicknesses and stuff like that, it said that most other people, people who were non-Christians, they would just look out for themselves. Or if somebody was sick, they'd throw them out or say, get out of here or whatever. But Christians in many of these plagues have actually gone out of their way to help other people, not only to help other Christians, but to just to help other people as well. And the funny thing was that the survival rate of Christians was actually higher than the non-Christians. So sometimes God is able to do something, take something that may not seem to make a whole lot of sense, but if you listen to his word and you follow his teaching, he's able to work it out for your good. You know, it's interesting. One of the things that I was thinking about with being selfish or being unselfish is just growth. You know, I remember when my son Michael, he was around for the birth of my son Christian, and somebody had put his diaper on wrong, and Michael, he kind of laid on me, and Christian was just born, and we think he was jealous or upset because he had to share the attention, and he laid on me just as sweet as he could, and he peed all over me. Well, at the time, I thought it was cute, and I thought it was funny. Now, if Michael is 17 years old and he lays on me and he pees on me, that's a whole nother thing. And one of the verses in scripture where it says, I gave you milk, not solid food, because you were not ready for it. I think that at some point in our lives, I think we have to make a general progression, especially as Christians, to where we say, okay, there's a time where we may have been depressed, or there still may be times where we're depressed, but we don't stay there, because if we stay in our own depression, then how are we really going to be able to help other people?
And I love that. But I would add, we can't, you know, we're not our saviors. Mm-hmm. It's if not for God that, wow, God, help me out of this. I don't want to stay here because I know there's things that you've got for me. And he may say, like Craig McConnell, okay, start praying for Mike. Start praying for, you know, you're depressed. Okay. Start praying for other people you know that are depressed.
That's right.
You know, that's one of the fascinating things is I always want to save myself.
Right. Right.
And that's what makes me independent. And also what robs other people of the joy of helping me. You know, and I think of how often I rob my wife. Mm-hmm. Of the joy of helping me with things because, you know, I don't want to trouble her. I don't want to, you know. But it's been a fascinating thing over 30-some-odd years of marriage of understanding there are certain ways that she really thrives in serving other people. Mm-hmm. And to rob her of that is really taking away God's reflection in her. And it's an interesting discipline to learn to be able to receive as much as it is to give. And we're all of us a lot, you know, we love to give, but how good are we at receiving?
It's harder. Yeah, I was actually talking with a lady in Reidsville. This was several years ago, and we both agreed on it. We said, you know, we love to help other people out, but we hate it when people have to help us. And so when I was depressed about a week or two ago, whatever it was, when I sent you that text and I sent it out to my friend Annette, the last thing that I wanted to do was to send that text. But I knew the only thing worse was to not do anything at all. And so I had to do something. And it's so refreshing that a lot of times that when you do ask people for help, that people want to help. People want to help. And a lot of times you feel better even getting the help because it works. I've thinking about this whole whether depression thing or whether it's the corona or whatever it is, I feel like, you know, if nothing else, we've had to learn a lot of patience. And sometimes the healing comes, but man, it doesn't happen always in 30 seconds. And I was watching a story on YouTube about the great revivalist Evan Roberts from the revival in Wales in 1904, 1905. And at the time when it started, he was 26 years old. But what I didn't get from it, because I've heard about it before, he prayed 13 years. He prayed for 13 years before the revival ever happened where he saw nothing at all. And then after 13 years, all of a sudden it happened. And it's like, maybe God is teaching us patience right now during this coronavirus or during the time where we're not able to have everything that we're used to having. But maybe he's teaching us patience, Robbie.
Oh, yeah. I think that, this is a time for the friends of Jesus to get close. To, you know, it may be a struggle, or maybe you're finding it easier. I hope you are. Mm-hmm. But Jesus, what would you have me? How can I serve you? You know, how can I serve the house? What does the kingdom, what gifts have you given me in order to do that? And, you know, it's a wonderful time to pray. It's a wonderful time to see. We're seeing a spiritual harvest for sure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he may have some strange, if you really listen like my friend Craig did, he may say something to you that makes absolutely no sense. Yeah. Like, you need to get on the radio, Robbie, and be on the Christian Car Guy.
Right.
When he told me that, it made no sense whatsoever. But in obedience brings blessing. And in that obedience of, like, turning on the music and beginning to worship, you know, there it is.
His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Just as his ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And a lot of times the way the road that we think that God wants us to take, God takes a totally another. He takes the off roads, he takes the dirt roads, but at the end of the day, he gets us to where we need to be.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that he allows depression because he knows he's the answer.
Right.
He knows that if not for God.
If not for God. And you had actually said there was a guy that you said, I think he was on a different track. He was maybe studying Buddhism or something. And then all of a sudden he got into a bad car wreck.
Right. Broke his back. He ended up in a wheelchair, paraplegic. But he clearly said it, that it was what turned his life around. And like we talk about, if not for God. Thank you for listening today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to If Not For God with Mike Zwick. For more shows, subscribe on iTunes to If Not For God. For more information on Mike or to contact him, go to ifnotforgod.life.